Edgar Allan Poe's The Gold Bug. Brent dramatized by Ray Evans. Starring Clark Peters, Brett Aston, John Sherrion, and William Hootkins.
I met the gentleman in Baltimore in late 42. Border wall between the states. Handsome fellow. Droopy mustache, mane of dark hair. Blacker than a raven's wing, they used to say. Though they weren't saying it then, because he didn't pen that ditty for another couple of years. I hear he had periods of sobriety. Weeks, months even. Not that night. Port, gin, coffee cup with rum. He was drinking it all. But whiskey was his tipple, as it was mine. Difference is, I can hold my liquor.
I'm telling a story here, Scotty. Can you keep it down?
I guess we must have met in some low barrel house where whites and coloreds could mix without drawing attention. Looking back, all I see is me talking and him listening. He was just the easiest listener I ever did meet. I was flattered. Most white folks never let an uppity young Negro run off at the mouth, which made me talk all the more. I told him things I never told another soul. I didn't know then he was a thief. Got the evidence right here. Tales of mystery and imagination.
How about you come back and practice that later?
Imagination. Fancy word for lying. Making it up. I'm not always 100% truthful myself, but when it's your story, your life, kind of hurts. Let me just read you the beginning, the way Mr. Edgar Allan Poe tells it. Many years ago, I contracted an intimacy with a Mr. William Legrand.
He was of an ancient Huguenot family and had once been wealthy, but a series of misfortunes had reduced him to want. To avoid the mortification consequent upon his disasters, Legrand left Charleston, the city of his forefathers, and took up his residence at Sullivan's Island.
That's the Sawbones speaking. The fellow Mr. Poe has telling the tale. Because he didn't want no He didn't want no Negro telling it, I suppose. What the doctor says is true, far as it goes. Though I notice he didn't see fit to mention that Willie LeGrand's misfortunes were whiskey, women, and cards. Sullivan's Island. Queer place. No more than water and sand. 3 miles long, quarter mile wide, split off from the mainland by a little creek. After Willie LeGrand got strung up and skinned at the poker tables in Charleston, he ran away to Sullivan's Island and built himself a cabin there. Or rather, I built it for him. Looked after him, too, for 5 long years. The Sawbones came to visit from time to time.
LeGrand and I soon became friends. He was well-educated, with unusual powers of mind, but infected with misanthropy, and subject to perverse moods of alternate enthusiasm and melancholy.
Awful coy for a doctor, ain't it? It was drink made LeGrand moody like that.
He had many books, but rarely read them. His chief amusement was hunting for entomological specimens. He had a most remarkable collection of insects.
Now we're getting me, and the first batch of Mr. Poe's lies.
In his excursions, LeGrand was accompanied by an old Negro called Jupiter, who had been manumitted.
That's a $10 word for freed.
Before the reverses of the family, but who could not be induced neither by threats nor promises to abandon his young Massa Will.
Massa Will, lordy, lordy. Lie number one. I wasn't old. I was barely 15 when Willie LeGrand brought me to Sullivan's Island. Big for my age, so I could hew wood and draw water, which is what he wanted me for. Lie number two. I was not manumitted. I was a slave, born, bred, and shackled. Though my mama had been a free woman in Mother Africa, for she was caught and sold, whipped, and shipped. Jupiter was my slave name, the name the LeGrands gave me. Only thing they ever did, knowingly anyhow. Soon as I got free, I christened myself Charles, after the city where I was born. The city where my mama died in bondage to the LeGrands. Lie number three.
But who could not be induced, neither by threats nor promises, to abandon his young Massa Will.
The biggest, whitest lie of all. I'd have been off Sullivan's Island and away from young Massa Will like a shot from a gun. Except I knew he'd hunt me down and beat me, probably kill me if I ever broke free. That good old boy had a streak of meanness in him wide as a river. And when he drank, it overflowed. But I did get away from Willie LeGrand. And I did get free. And that's really what this story is about. Not secret codes. Or pirate's treasure. Not that you know it from reading Mr. Poe. It was late October, 1838. Nasty day. Storms at sea. Bitter winds. Let the doctor take up the tale.
In those days, my residence was in Charleston, a good 9 miles from Sullivan's Island. Passage was difficult then. So I hadn't visited my friend for several weeks. LeGrand! LeGrand, are you at home? I found the key where I knew it was secreted. Unlocked the door of LeGrand's hut and went in. A fire was blazing upon the hearth. I threw off my overcoat, took an armchair by the crackling logs, and awaited the arrival of my host.
Doctor, what a pleasure to see you again.
LeGrand!
I'd begun to fear you'd forgotten me.
Oh, never.
Juke!
Yes, Master Will?
That marsh hen I shot, prepare for supper. You will stay for supper.
Well, gladly, if it's no trouble.
No trouble at all.
Not for him, true.
What do you think of this? I found it on the shore.
Well, yes, it is a seashell.
A seashell? It's an unknown bivalve, man, which I'll wager forms an entirely new genus. But, oh, God, I wish I'd known you were coming tonight. You could have seen the real treasure quest. It would have truly astounded you, wouldn't it, Jupiter?
It would, Master.
What is this treasure?
With Jupiter's assistance...
He means I found it.
I hunted down and secured a scarabaeus the like of which you have never set eyes on in your life. I believe it to be totally new. You must see it tomorrow.
Well, why not tonight?
As I was coming home, I met Lieutenant Gerard from the fort, and very foolishly I lent him the bug. Damn! Jupiter, you should have stopped me.
Sorry, Master Will.
Stay here tonight. I'll send Jupiter fetch you back at sunrise. It's the loveliest thing in all creation.
Sunrise.
No, man. The bug. The gold bug.
Gold bug?
It is the most brilliant, burnished gold color. About the size of a large hickory nut, and so heavy. Isn't it, Jupiter?
It feels like solid gold inside and out. I never felt any insect half so heavy.
That's what I really said. Here's what Mr. Poe has me saying. It's a goo bug. I's a-telling you, Master Will, this bug is solid gold. Every bit of them, inside and out. I never felt half so heavy a bug in all my life. It's a good bug.
Even so, Chook, that's no reason to burn the damn bird.
Sorry, boss.
A gold bug.
That's what it looks like. Its scales emit the most brilliant metallic luster you ever saw. You can see for yourself in the morning. In the meantime, I'll draw a sketch to give you an idea of the form. Chook, pen and ink.
They're on the table, Master Will.
Paper, too. Damn it, I need paper.
You used it all up, boss.
Well, bring me that scrap you found on the seashore in my overcoat pocket.
You take a good look at this, because I think...
Just get back to the stove. Now, scarabaeus. So, two black spots near one extremity on the back. There... And there, a longer mark at the other end, and two long antennae. There. Not a bad likeness. Pass it to the doctor, Jupe.
Master?
Oh, thanks.
And fetch him a lamp.
No need. I can study it by the firelight here.
Well... What's your opinion of it?
It's a strange scarabaeus, I must confess. I never saw anything like it before.
What did I tell you? Isn't that precisely what I said, Jupiter?
Yes, boss.
Unless it was a skull.
A skull?
A death's head, which your bug more nearly resembles than anything else.
Well, yes, I suppose it has something of that appearance. Upon paper, at least. The two black spots, the eye sockets, the longer mark, the mouth. But the shape, man, the scarab shape.
If this is supposed to be a scarab shape, LeGrand, I fear you're no artist.
I believe I draw tolerably well.
Well, my dear fellow, then you must mean this as a joke. It is a skull, a passable
My drawing has received much praise. I had the best of tutors.
According to the vulgar notions of such specimens of physiology.
Vulgar notions?
Not a fellow to take much criticism, Mr. LeGrand.
If your precious gold bug really resembles this hieroglyph, it must be the queerest insect in the world. I presume you will call it Scarabaeus capitominus. Death's head beetle or some such whimsical name. And where are those antennae you spoke of?
They're there, dammit! They're right there. I made them as distinct in the drawing as they are on the original bug.
Did you?
You must see them.
I don't see them at all.
Evidently, you need spectacles, sir.
On the contrary, LeGrand, my eyes are perfect.
Then some other organ must be at fault.
You call for discourtesy, LeGrand.
Give me the damn paper.
Here, take it.
Boss, wait! No, don't burn it!
If I want to burn it, it's my affair. Get back to your cooking.
No, Master, no!
How dare you defy me?
LeGrand raised his hand. If he'd have hit me, I'd have struck him back, which he'd have probably killed me for. I had no idea what I had, of course, but something told me that little scrap was valuable. Worth killing for, if need be. And maybe LeGrand saw that in my eyes.
Look at this. Look at it good.
I showed him the scrap, one side, then the other. Grew red, like when he's drinking. Then pale, like just before he throws up.
You see, Massa?
My God. Oh, my God.
The doctor was watching all this craziness, not getting it, of course.
What is it, LeGrand? What have you found that's so comical?
Nothing. Oh, no, nothing at all.
LeGrand locked the paper in his desk.
The key. The key.
Man,
all because of the gold bug. The gold bug.
He was like that for the rest of the evening, barely talking except to himself. The doc soon decided to call it quits. Didn't stay the night. Didn't even get to eat that marsh hen I was cooking, which, by the way, was real tasty.
Could E be the key? E. Key. E-key.
I think I'd better take my leave.
Yes. Good night, Dr. Jupe. Get the doctor's coat.
Oh, yes, boss.
Good night, LeGrand. I'll come again.
Oh, yes. Do soon. Soon. Bolt the door, Jupe.
Two weeks later, LeGrand sent me to Charleston with a letter for the doctor. I was glad to go to Charleston. I picked a posy of flowers to set on my mama's grave. Unmarked, of course, but I knew where she lay. let's see how Mr. Poe tells it here. So I find the doc, and I say, Massa Will, him sick, doc. Him very sick, white as a ghost, muttering to himself, scribbling on the slate. Three pages of this baloney. The bug, Massa Will been bit by the ghoul bug. You might have guessed by now that Mr. Edgar Allan Poe was not an enlightened gentleman. Born in Boston, sure enough, but a true son of the South. In his lily-white mind, black folks were just ignorant children. And slavery was not just the way of the world. It was the will of God.
Well, Jupiter.
I got a letter for you, Doc.
Oh, thank you, Jupe.
Since I saw you last, I've had great cause for anxiety. I have something to tell you, yet I scarcely know how, or even if I should tell you at all. If you can, come over with Jupiter immediately. Do come. I wish to see you tonight upon business of importance, upon business of the highest importance. Ever yours, William LeGrand.
Jupiter, do you know what this is all about?
Well, Doc, I guess you might say Massa Will's been bitten by the gold bug.
It was mid-afternoon when I ran the little boat up on the beach by the cabin. LeGrand was waiting out front.
He came. I feared you might not.
You look feverish, LeGrand.
I'm fine. Better than I've ever been. Come into the cabin.
Jupiter tells me you've been bitten by that scarabaeus you found.
He's right.
So you got it back from the lieutenant, huh?
First thing the next morning. I must have been mad to let it out of my possession. I would never part with it now. Jupe was right about something else, too.
What's that?
He said it was a bug of real gold.
You know, I never really said that.
And you believe that to be true?
That little beetle's gonna make my fortune. Recover my lost estates, get me off this godforsaken island.
But I confess, I don't quite see how...
No, I don't imagine you do. Jupiter, bring me the gold bug.
Yes, master.
Take my word for it, I have only to use it judiciously, and I shall arrive at the gold.
Here it is, Massa.
Well?
Beautiful. And it
certainly looks like gold.
It's dead. It won't bite. Pick it up.
Good Lord. So heavy.
Heavy as...
Yeah, solid gold. And taking into account the bug's appearance, I can hardly blame Jupiter for his unscientific opinion.
But you blame me.
Here, you better take it.
I sent for you the moment I completed my researches, so that I might have your assistance in fulfilling the promise I perceive to have been made to me by this little creature.
My dear LeGrand, you are not yourself.
Who am I, then?
You are plainly unwell. Let me prescribe for you.
I am perfectly well.
You are feverish.
Feel
I can see
brow.
It.
Feel my brow.
You may have no fever, but still be sick. Allow me to act as your doctor, LeGrand. You must go to bed.
I am not ill, man. I'm excited. And if you really wish to do me some good, you will help me relieve this excitement.
Well, how?
Jupiter and I are about to embark upon an expedition into the hills on the mainland. It is an enterprise in which I need the assistance of someone I can trust. You.
Thank you.
Whether we succeed or fail, the agitation that you perceive in me will be equally allayed. Will you come?
I am anxious to help you, LeGrand.
Good. That's settled.
But I have to ask, has this infernal beetle any connection with your plans?
Oh, yes. Very much so.
I'm afraid I cannot become party to such an absurd proceeding.
I'm sorry to hear that. Jupiter?
Yes, Master?
Seems we must make the expedition by ourselves.
How long do you propose to be absent?
All night. Perhaps tomorrow as well.
So you're going...
Immediately, of course. There's no time to lose.
If I accompany you, LeGrand, you must promise me that when this freak of yours is over, when this bug business, good God, is settled to your satisfaction, you will return home and follow my advice.
I promise. Now let's be off. Jupiter, bring those tools.
We set off about 4 that afternoon. LeGrand, the doc, and me bringing up the rear, toting 3 shovels and a scythe. The doc had charge of the lantern, while LeGrand carried nothing but that damn beetle, which he had tied to a long cord so he could twirl it around his head as he walked. The doc was upset by this sight. A grown man playing with a bug on a string. He saw it as yet more proof that poor Willie was a few cents short on the dollar. As we crossed over the creek on the little boat, the doc tried to make conversation.
So, LeGrand, perhaps now you would care to tell me the object of our quest.
You will see in good time.
Could it be that we are hunting for more of those remarkable scarabaea?
You will see in good time.
That's just about all Willie said the whole damn journey. On the mainland, we struck west into wild and desolate country, where I swear no man had ever set foot. Willie seemed to know where we were headed, though. He trotted ahead like a bird dog. 2 hours later, we were battling up a steep hill, through brush so thick I had to hack a path with the scythe. All the time, Willie was telling me which way to go.
Left, man! Around the other side of that rock!
No, the other side!
Till I wanted to spin around Smarters and take him off at the knees. I didn't, of course. The sun was low when we reached the top.
Yeah, it's a sort of plateau, a tableland.
Like the whole crown of the hill's been sawed clean off.
Weird, nasty place. Narrow ravines, great rocks lying around, and a stand of trees, 8 or 10 oaks, and in the middle...
Well, Liriodendron tulipiferum.
Tulip tree.
Must be hundreds of years old. I've never seen one so big.
LeGrand walked around that giant, craning his neck to look up. Me and the doc did the same, though we didn't know why. The sheer height made my head spin.
Is this where your gold bugs breed? Well, is it?
You will see in good time. Well, Juke, can you climb it?
You expect me to climb that monster?
You can't be serious, LeGrand.
Yes, Jupe, that's exactly what I expect, what I demand, in fact.
Yeah, I can climb that old tree. I can climb any old tree you ever seen.
God, was I cocky then, and more scared of LeGrand than I was of gravity.
All right, then. Get started.
How far up must I go?
Climb the main trunk as far as that fork, and I'll tell you which way. Wait, Jupe. Must take the scarabaeus.
LeGrand, this is madness.
And I'll get hold of the string.
Truth be told, it wasn't so hard as it looked. The bark was rough and gnarled, cracked deep in places. There were branches every few feet. Still, it was a long way down, and I had a couple of narrow escapes.
Oh! Watch out below!
You all right up there, boy?
Yeah, I'm all right, Master.
Holding that damn bug on the string didn't make it any easier. But at last, 70-odd feet up, I wriggled myself into the first great fork.
Which way now, Master?
Go up the largest branch. The one on this side.
I climbed on, higher and higher, till LeGrand and the sawbones looked small as the bug I was carrying. And I lost sight of them sometimes through the curtain of green.
How much further?
How high are you?
Whew, so high, I can see the sky.
In the damn sky. Look down the trunk. Count the big limbs below you on this side. How many you passed?
Five. Past five limbs, Master.
Go one limb higher.
The boar will break his neck.
No, no, you can see for yourself. He climbs like a squirrel. Jupe?
I'm here, boss. I've set aside the seventh limb.
Excellent. Now, Jupe, I want you to work your way out along that limb as far as you can go.
LeGrand, I say again, this is madness.
If you see anything strange, you let me know. What's the matter, Jupe?
I'm afraid to venture out on this limb, boss. It is dead.
Dead?
That is a doornail, boss. Pretty much all the way along.
No, no, no. What in God's name shall I do?
Come home and let me put you to bed. There's a fine fellow. It's late. It'll be dark soon. You remember your promise.
Jupiter, can you hear me, boy?
I'm clear, boss.
You try that wood with your penknife. You see how rotten it really is.
What? No, no,
well,
no, Jupe.
Pretty rotten, boss.
Damn.
Make him come down now, please.
Well, I guess I might venture out a little ways just to see how far I can go.
No, Jupiter, hey, come down.
You do that now, Jupe. You go out along that branch.
All right, I will, Master, but I'm going to drop the bug.
No. No, you are not going to drop that bug.
I need both my hands, boss, in case I fall.
As sure as you drop that beetle, I shall break your neck. You hear me, boy?
I hear you, Master. I ain't no need to get riled. Reckon I might come on down like the doc says. You can take the bug and climb up here yourself.
No. No. Now, Jupiter, you listen. You go out along that branch as far as you think is safe and keep a hold of that beetle. I'll make you the present of a silver dollar.
Did you catch that? One silver dollar for risking my neck. Now, just remember that now.
All right, boss. I'm going along now.
Jupe, I lost sight of you. Where are you now?
Getting near the end of the limb, Master.
What can you see?
The sky and the ground. And the sky looks the closer to two.
I'd seen the skull by then, out at the end of the limb, where I expected it to be. As I shuffled toward it, I could see LeGrand's face far below. I couldn't make out his expression from up there, but I knew what it'd be. So I thought I'd better put him out of his misery.
Woo! No! Oh, sweet Lord Jesus! Mercy! What is this here up on the tree?
Okay, so I overdid a little. Willie didn't notice.
What is it? What do you have found up there, Jupe?
A skull, boss! Staring right at me! Or it would be if it had any eyes.
A human skull!
Oh, yeah!
Excellent. How's it fastened to the tree?
Ooh! By a long nail going plumb through it.
Boy, now, Jupiter, listen.
I'm listening away, Master Will.
I want you to do exactly as I tell you. Have you got the bug?
Right here in my hand.
Thread the bug through the left eye socket of the skull and let it fall on the string.
Can you believe I got so far and I didn't have a plan? That ain't a happy thought when you're sitting astride a dead tree limb 90 foot up in the air. If I did like I was told, drop the bug through the left eye hole, Master Will get everything, and I sure as hell didn't want that. And if I disobeyed him, why, he was so worked up he'd probably kill me. So I played for time.
Boss!
You done that, Jupe? I can't see the bug.
Did you say the left eye?
Yes, the left eye.
Which one's that, boss?
Curse your stupidity. You know your right hand from your left don't chop.
My right hand? That'll be the one I chop wood with.
Yes, so your left hand's the other one. Now find the left-hand side of the skull.
It ain't got a left hand, boss. It's only a skull.
Don't you just love it?
God almighty, I can't believe you can be so dense. I declare I shall whip you.
That's when I got the idea. I knew just what to do.
Wait, boss, I got it. I'm threading the bug through the eye hole.
The left eye.
And I'm letting it fall.
I sat up there on top of the world and watched that bug drop down on its string. It shone in the last rays of the setting sun like a brand new pocket watch. Willie was right. That bug was a promise. A promise of gold.
I got it, Duke. Now come on down.
Hammer the peg into the ground by the base of the tree.
Yes.
No. There. Yes. Yes.
I simply cannot see what you're trying to achieve with this, LeGrand.
We'll see in good time.
Pastor Will?
Duke, fetch that measuring tape in the pocket of my overcoat.
That's all he said. Not good climbing there, Duke. Or thanks for risking your neck. No. Just get the damn tape measure.
Hand one end of the tape to the doctor.
Yes, boss.
Your master's not well, Jupiter. You know that, don't you?
In what way, Doc?
You have the tape?
Well, I have it. He is suffering from delusions.
Now hold the end of the tape fast to the peg.
Now, do you understand what that means?
You believe things that ain't real?
Exactly.
Now, I have to measure 50 feet from the point extending down from which the gold bug hangs from the left eye socket or the skull that is on the seventh limb.
Now, does that sound rational to you?
What'd you propose we do about it, Doc?
I want you to help me subdue him so that we can carry him home.
The idea was appealing. Me and Sawbones ganging up on Willie and overpowering him.
You bring the shovels.
Well, Jupiter, what do you think?
I think that's a real bad idea, Doc.
Come in, Master Will.
Hey, come along, Doctor. You too. We have some serious digging to do here.
This is Luna City.
Don't stop. Why have you stopped?
I can't see where I'm digging no more, boss. I'm feared I might chop off somebody's foot.
Move the lantern.
So you already done that. It don't help.
Isn't that better? Now resume digging.
LeGrand, please, let this obsession of yours see. Whatever you are seeking in this godforsaken place, it is most assuredly not here.
We must dig deeper.
We have dug deeper. 6 feet, 8 feet. How much deeper do you wish us to dig, man?
What is it? We must enlarge the circumference of the hole.
We've done that too, boss.
That's right. Darkness has made this enterprise perilous. If we uncover something, which I am quite certain we shall not, would we even be able to see it? LeGrand, I fear your gold bug has proven to be a liar.
I am truly sorry.
Oh, hypocrite. He wasn't sorry at all.
Gather up the tools, Jupe.
Yes, Master Will. I'm so glad sanity has finally prevailed.
I must go home and check my computations.
What?
We shall return tomorrow. First light.
No. No, LeGrand. You made me a promise.
I promised that when this bug business was settled to my satisfaction, I would return home and submit to your ministrations. It is not settled. I am not satisfied. Perhaps you would be so kind as to carry the lantern. Jupiter.
Master Will.
Let's go. You hear what I said? What you waiting for, boy?
Well, I reckon I ought to stay, Master. Stand guard.
Over a hole in the ground? In the middle of nowhere? The idea's absurd.
No. And he'd right. That's good thinking, Jupe.
I reckon that may have been the first and last compliment Willie ever paid me.
You remain here with the tools. Be sure to stay awake.
Oh, yeah. I'll stay awake, Master Will.
You expect us again about 2 hours after sunrise.
LeGrand, please, no more of this.
Be vigilant, Jupiter. Must hurry. I have a full night's work ahead of me.
You ain't the only one.
Lord, that was a long, hard night. In those far-off days of my youth, I was accustomed to back-breaking labor. It's what I did, what I was for. But that damn near killed me, working alone, in the dark, just the dust in the moonlight. Not even 100% sure of what I was doing, or where I was doing it. So it ain't such a wonder that when LeGrand and the doctor come back about 8 next morning, I was, well, not exactly being vigilant, shall we say. I've been keeping watch, perched up on a rock, heart in my mouth, wondering what the hell was going to happen. But then...
Look at that scoundrel. Could anyone blame me if I struck him dead?
Not going to, are you?
We shall see. You infernal villain!
Mm? Oh, Master! No, Master, please!
Control yourself, LeGrand.
You in selling good for nothing!
I didn't mean to nod off. I only just
up.
Did.
Stand up! Now!
I'm sorry, Master. Don't hit me again, Master, please.
Now, tell me, you villain, unless you want another taste of this... Which is your left eye?
Massa?
Your left eye, you cur. Which one is it? Touch it with your hand.
It's this one, ain't it?
I knew it!
Is that wrong? Don't beat me, Massa, please.
Wrong? Of course it's wrong. That's your right eye, you magnificent ignoramus. Do you see what this means?
Well, how could I?
It means the game's not up yet. Where's that tape measure, Jupe?
Lying where you left it, boss.
What the devil is going on?
I don't know, but Master Will sure seems to have cheered up all of a sudden.
Violent mood swings, a sure sign of lunacy.
Doctor, come, I need you to hold this tape.
Oh, God. Coming!
Faster the page as you did before. I shall take the other end.
I was sure Master Will was going to send me back up that tree. There was no need, but I figured he'd want to be dead certain. And also that he'd do it out of spite.
Jupe, the skull, was it facing outward or toward the tree?
Facing out, boss.
But he was far too impatient for that.
That means the bug should have fallen to the spot about 3 inches westward of its present... Here. So, when the tape extends to it... Jupe, bring the shovels.
Yes, boss.
I studied the cipher again last night, got the same result. You don't understand, I know.
Sorry, boss.
But I was right, I knew it. This is the spot. Doctor, lay down that tape and come here. We were digging in the wrong place last night.
Better fit too, boss. Don't want to waste no more time.
I fell to digging straight away because I feared Willie noticed the earth had been disturbed.
Left eye, right eye, what difference does it make?
A discrepancy of a mere 3 inches close to the tree extended for 50 feet results in a deviation of several yards.
But he wasn't in a noticing frame of mind.
Strange, the earth here looks fresh.
Doc,
You gonna lend a hand or stand there yakking?
You try. Get to work.
It was different from the digging last night. We were all dog-tired, especially me. And yet there was an edge to the enterprise. Expectation. LeGrand had it in spades, if you'll pardon the expression. The doc caught it from him. I had it too, though for a very different reason. We dug down 3 feet. 4. I felt I was running a fever. Would LeGrand see something was wrong? Would I get away with it? It didn't seem possible. I was shaking so much I could barely hold a shovel. At last, we hit the bones.
Wait! Wait, what's that?
Just another rock.
This is no rock.
Woo! Oh, sweet Lord. That's the twin of the one resting up in the tree. Oh, there's a whole mess of bones. Is we digging up a cemetery here?
Not a cemetery, but surely a grave.
A double grave. There's a second skull.
We got the bones out best as we could. 2 full skeletons. Plus a few metal buttons and some scraps of cloth, laying where I placed them back in the earth a few hours before. We dug on.
Wait, your grand!
Till we turned up a few coins.
Woo! Boss, we hit treasure!
Silver! Keep digging.
Then at last, LeGrand hit an iron ring buried in the earth.
Stop! A wooden box. More than a yard square. I can't see how deep.
This ain't wood, boss. It's too hard.
It's been subjected to a mineralizing process, probably bichloride and mercury.
There's another ring on the other side. Let's lift it out. On the count of 3 now. 1, 2, 3!
That old chest didn't budge an inch, even though there were 3 of us now, and it was lighter than before.
It must be wedged against something.
Damn.
I was getting impatient.
Hey, Master Will, there's some kind of bolt down here. It moves, too. We can open up this big old thing right where it's sitting.
Hey, get back there. Let me do it.
Oh, Lord. I don't believe it. Oh, my.
I knew it.
The sun was above the tulip tree by then. Its rays made the great pile of gold and jewels glow and flash, so it dazzled our eyes.
Is it real, Master? Can I touch it?
Oh, yes, Jupiter. You may touch. Well, Doctor, do you still presume to call my gold bug a liar?
Spent the whole of that day and the following night taking the treasure out of the chest and carrying it over to the cabin on Sullivan's Island. LeGrand sent me back to fetch 3 stout sacks. When we started filling them, the chest was 3/4 full. By the time we were done, it was 3/4 empty, so we could just about heave it out of the ground. We carried our precious burden in relays, toting the sacks a dozen yards, setting them down, hurrying back to drag the chest. More back-breaking labor. LeGrand never let any of it out of his sight for 1 second. Maybe he didn't trust me. Lord knows why. Or maybe the expression on the doc's face was troubling him. By the time we got it all safe in the cabin, it was near dawn, and we were so beat we just fell and slept where we lay. I woke 3 hours later. LeGrand was already up, and the little hut was full of gold.
308, 309, 310.
I never know there was so much gold in all the world, Master.
It's more than I ever dreamed. The value of the coin alone must be $500,000.
You joshing me, Master.
That's a mere fraction of the whole. There are several hundred finger and earrings, dozens of bowls, cups, censers, chains, crucifixes, sword handles, pocket watches, so many objects. It'd take me days to count them. And all gold. Not a particle of silver. And then there are the gems.
Strangest dream.
Oh, my. I am in the lair of the gold bug.
Get the doctor a cup of coffee, Duke.
Yes, Master.
And bring one for me.
This must be worth $1,000,000.
Oh, many times that. Will you help me make an inventory?
Very well. On one condition.
What's that?
Tell me about the gold bug.
Remember that night when I handed you the sketch I made of the Scarabaeus?
Indeed I do, LeGrand. You got quite heated about it, as I recall.
Jupe, join us. You may have something to add to this tale.
That day, Willie LeGrand was in the sweetest mood I'd ever seen him in. He had good reason to be. Of course, since he had just become richer than God.
My drawing resembled a skull, you said, according to the vulgar notions of such objects.
I swear it did.
Your sneer at my artistic powers irritated me. So when you handed me the parchment, I was about to throw it on the fire.
Well, the paper, you mean?
No, Doc, that was parchment, all right.
Jupe found it on the beach that very day, near the spot where we found the gold bug. When I first picked up the bug, the creature gave me a sharp nip, which caused me to let it drop. Jupe saw the scrap half buried in the sand. He seized it, wrapped the bug in it, and gave it to me. I thrust the bundle into my pocket. Going home, I met the lieutenant. I loaned him the bug, but its wrapping remained in my pocket until...
Paper, too. Damn it, I need paper.
You used it all up, boss.
Well, bring me that scrap you found on the seashore in my overcoat pocket.
The parchment was blank on both sides. I sketched the gold bug on it. By the time I handed it to you, it had turned into a skull. Do you know why?
Oh, no. Tell me, man.
You have the parchment, Jupe.
Right here, Master. Take a look, Doc.
Well, here is the crude drawing of the skull I saw that night. And on the other side...
is my depiction of the gold bug.
This is your sketch?
Yes.
Well, so why did you also draw the skull?
I didn't.
Well, you just said that when Jupe handed you the parchment, it was blank on both sides.
So it was. I drew the bug.
Well, damn it, man. That makes no sense.
And the heat of the fire drew the skull.
Am I being very foolish here?
Not at all. Enlighten him, Jupe.
You see, Doc, you took the parchment over to read by the firelight. Fire was blazing.
The fire heated it and caused the skull to appear.
Invisible ink.
Exactly so. A message had been transcribed upon that vellum using a preparation that became visible only when subjected to the action of fire.
Oh, well, saffron digested with aqua regia would do it.
Or regulus of cobalt in the spirit of nitre.
Uh-huh.
Or lemon juice.
Now, Doctor, consider. A parchment is unearthed on the seashore with a crude skull drawn upon it in an invisible ink. What does that suggest to you? Oh, come now, Doctor.
Pirates, Doc.
Pirates?
Exactly so. That night I took the vellum and subjected every portion of it to the fire's heat. Before my very eyes, there became visible at the corner diagonally opposite the skull a figure that I supposed to be...
Ta-da!
A goat.
A goat?
It looked like a goat. I confess it was Jupiter who identified it correctly as a kid.
Well, what have pirates to do with goats?
I just told you, not a goat, a kid.
Well, a goat, a kid, it's the same thing.
Not quite. You see, I realized from its position upon the vellum that it was a pictorial signature. The signature of that notorious pirate.
Captain Kidd.
Thank you, Jupe.
We had only gone and found ourselves a treasure map.
Hallelujah.
And I knew all about that. My mama told me stories about loot buried on the coast by Captain Kidd and his cutthroat crew. Tons of money.
Fetch us some more coffee, Chew.
So I told Master Will, you take that Yes, boss.
I held the vellum over the fire for a third time. There, between the death's head and the kid. Oh, here, take a look.
Well, I can't see any.
Hold it to the light. The characters are very faint.
Oh, my God, LeGrand. Well, this is not a map. It's a jumble of symbols, the crosses, asterisks, numbers. Well, no letters at all, let alone words. Well, I could not decipher this for all the jewels of Golconda.
And yet, to the trained mind, the solution is by no means as difficult as it appears.
Yeah.
I knew the message was in English because the pun on kid is appreciable in no other language. Now, in English, the letter E occurs with the greatest frequency.
Okay, I admit it was smart of LeGrand to crack the kid's secret code. Or so he told anyone who listened for the next 10 years. Me? I always knew he could do it. Willie was a sucker for word puzzles and anagrams and acrostics. If you're interested, Mr. Poe wastes 6 pages explaining how Willie came by the correct solution. They're the most boring 6 pages he ever wrote. And they got some stiff competition. That's why I'm skipping it here.
So, here it is, unriddled. A good glass in the devil's seat, 41 degrees northeast, main branch, 7th limb, shoot from the left eye of the death's head, a beeline from the tree through the shot 50 feet out.
Well, that's still Chinese to me. Oh, thanks, Jupe. Now, for instance, the devil's seat...
Oh, all right, Jupe. Go on then, tell him.
My mama used to talk about the devil's seat.
It's a particular
rock high up on the cliffs, just up the coast. Shape of a big old chair. Thing is, when you sit in the devil's seat, you can only look in one direction.
Finish.
Sure, boss. You go ahead.
So, I climbed up to the devil's seat and I took out my telescope.
Oh, the good glass.
Exactly. I looked northeast, 41 degrees above the horizon, and do you know what I saw?
That big old tulip tree.
Yes, and not merely the tree, for when I focused the telescope and strained my vision, I could just make out a skull.
A skull, the death's head.
Nailed to the branch. The rest is child's play. I knew I must drop a shot through the skull's left eye, extend it with a line from the tree for 50 feet.
Only Jupiter didn't know his right from his left.
I should have anticipated that. Shouldn't I, Jupiter?
Well, I guess you should have done, boss. You know me.
He didn't, of course.
But as you know, we rectify the error. And now I have in my possession the entire treasure trove of Captain Kidd.
That's what you think.
Well, I have 2 questions.
I'll do my best.
Why did you insist on having the gold bug on the end of your plumb line instead of the lead shot? Huh?
Well, I'd say Master Will was putting your leg there, Doc.
Yeah, I confess it. I was annoyed by your suspicions concerning my sanity. So I resolved to punish you by a little mystification. Wanted to see your face when we opened the chest.
And it was a picture.
Next question.
Well, what are we to make of the 2 skeletons we found in the hole?
Kid must have needed assistance to bury all that treasure. And when he had...
He didn't want to leave anybody living who might know where it was hid.
Oh, God, no.
Perhaps a couple of blows with a shovel were sufficient.
Oh.
Perhaps it required a dozen. Who can tell? More coffee.
Yes, Master.
And, put a splash of whiskey in it, Jupe.
That's pretty much where Mr. Poe leaves this tale of mystery and imagination. It's not the end, of course. You recall when me, Willie, and Doc opened up that treasure chest and it was 3/4 full? Well, when I opened it the first time, a few hours before, it was full right up to the very brim. I wasn't greedy. The golden jewels I took out and hid in the brambles, hell, that didn't amount to more than $500,000 in change. I fetched them 3 days later, and I left the cabin and Sullivan's Island and Mr. William LeGrand forever. I never saw Willie again. I heard tell he died 10 years later of cirrhosis of the liver, plus a few other unpleasant maladies he picked up along the way. All that wealth didn't make Willie LeGrand any wiser or luckier. He died in poverty, just like Edgar Allan Poe. Good, ain't it?
Keep practicing, Scotty.
I swear that ball go far.
Edgar Allan Poe's The Gold Bug was irreverently dramatized by Gregory Evans. Charles was played by Clark Peters, and Jupiter by Rashaun Stone. LeGrand was played by John Sherrion, the Doctor by William Hootkins. The pianist was Neil Brand. The director was Ned Shire.